continuing teaching on the church, and you'll be surprised. I'm reading Isaiah 14, starting with verse 12. Isaiah 14, starting with verse 12. We'll begin there tonight and build up a little background as I continue teaching on the church. I don't know how long I've been on this. I imagine 10 weeks or so I've been teaching on the church. And tonight, I want to teach on the substitute church, or the substitute for the church. In verse number 12 of Isaiah chapter 14, page 726 in your Scofield Bible, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell." I'll be glad when that comes. "To the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms?" Our Heavenly Father, we come in a few moments to study the Bible. You said you loved the church and gave yourself for it. Certainly, you're interested in anybody who tries to teach scripturally about the church. Bless us as we teach tonight. Give us hearing ears, warm hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I wish your girls would sing out when you sing. I'm going to ask you to follow me. I actually have three separate divisions of our study tonight. Each one is attached to the other, but actually they seem a little bit non-related. If you just sort of come and go and get a little bit here, a little bit there, I think you'll not get a good idea about what I'm teaching about. I'm teaching tonight on the substitute church, or the substitutes for the church. And I'm going to teach for a few minutes along one line, and then off to another line, and then finally get to the main subject. But each of these is built on the previous one. So let's pray. Father, teach us now and help us to be willing to learn. Give us attentive ears. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's say before I start, I do not believe that anybody can be right with God and wrong in the church. We're wrong with the church. I do not think there's any way in the world you can be a good Christian, not be faithful to church. No way in the world you can be. If that's the case, then God wasted his time in establishing churches. And so here we go. Everybody sit up straight, look right this way. If you're a little sleepy, slap yourself in the cheek. If you fell beside you sleepy, slap him in the cheek. And look right this way, and we'll begin. Satan. I'm going to give 9 consecutive points here. Don't write them down. Just listen carefully to them. Number one is Satan wanted to become the king. Satan was originally one of the 3 archangels, Michael and Lucifer being the other 2. Satan, however, I think, even had authority and rank over Michael and Gabriel. I think there's no doubt about it. The Bible says he was the anointed cherub. I think that Satan, named Lucifer then, was the right-hand person to the Son of God, to God himself. I do not think that anybody has ever known God like Lucifer did. I do not think the angels have ever known God like Lucifer did, because Lucifer not only was one of the 3 archangels, which means that he had at least was in the group of 3 that should have known God best. But there, he also, no doubt, was the one who was above the other 2. So, that's what he was way back yonder. However, he decided that he wanted to become king. He wanted to be equal with God, or even take over God's throne. We read about it just a while ago, how that Satan said, I will ascend, and I will be on the sides of the congregation, on the sides of the north, and so forth. So, That's the first thing I want to say. Satan wanted to be king. Number two, he fought to be. Satan declared war, having one-third of the angels, at least, under him. He declared war. Now, I think that, and I think I can prove this in the Bible at that time, that the angels were divided into three groups. Michael and his group, Lucifer and his group, Gabriel and his group. Lucifer took his group and rebelled against God and fought a war in heaven to try to rebel and take over heaven. First thing I said, Satan wanted to be king. Second thing I said, he fought to be. Third thing, he was defeated and cast out of heaven. Fourth thing, he then wanted to hurt God. Nobody has ever wanted to hurt God like the devil. He wanted to hurt God. Now, if he wanted to hurt God, he is going to try to find God's most vulnerable spot. And certainly if anybody knows what God's vulnerable spot is, and I don't like to use the word vulnerable, but you know what I mean, what would hurt God the most? What is it that would hurt God the most? So, here's what Satan did. Satan, in his attempt to hurt God, all right, let me give you the first four things. Satan wanted to be king. Number two, he fought to be. Number three, he was defeated and cast out of heaven. Number four, he then wanted to hurt God. Number five, the best way to hurt God is through his children. By the way, that's the best way to hurt you too. If you want to hurt somebody, you hurt them through their children, and you won't find a more difficult way to hurt anybody than to hurt their children or hurt them through their children. So Satan said, I am going to strike God with the biggest blow. Now, Satan knew he was defeated. He knew he was consigned to hell. Matthew 25:41 says that he and his angels will be in the lake of fire forever. So he knew he was consigned to hell. Now, all he can do is do as much destruction as he can. So the devil said, I am going to strike back at God and hit him at the spot where it'll hurt him the most. And he said, no doubt, the spot where it'll hurt him the most will be his children. All right, now, you're one of his children. I want to make this statement. Number six, Satan does not have a way for you to go. Don't forget that statement. Satan does not have a way for you to go. Satan has no plan for your life. He has no way that he's decided for you to go. Now, listen carefully to this. And I'll say number seven. He wants you to go any way but God's way. See? Satan knows that if the devil said to you, you do this, well, you're not going to say, okay, devil, I'll do what you say. Now, there are some kooks that will, and these college and high school Satan worshipers and so forth, but most Christian, most people, not Christians, anybody, Christian people, they're not going to, so the devil said, I want you to do this. No, the devil has no way. He has no plan. Now, follow me carefully. The devil is not concerned about where you go as long as you don't go God's way. The devil is not concerned about what plan you follow as long as it is not God's plan. The devil is not dedicated to making you do what he wants you to do. He is dedicated to making you do anything but what God wants you to do. I have a sermon I planned. I call it Satan Worshippers. I don't know if a priest did here or not. I've overhauled it some. I'm going to preach it around the country. Called Satan Worshippers. The biggest Satan worshippers aren't these long-haired freaks that are offering animal and human sacrifices. The Satan worshippers Satan worshipper is anybody who is doing anything other than what God wants them to do. So Satan is not concerned about what plan you do. He's concerned about what plan you don't do. You see, God has a purpose for your life. And Satan is set out to keep you from doing that purpose. For example, God has a certain person he wants you to marry. Now, that's some of you, we should hear him show him to you. But he has a certain person that you want. And the devil is not concerned about you marrying a prostitute or a harlot. The devil wants you to marry anybody you're not supposed to marry. He wants you to go anywhere you're not supposed to go. Turn to Isaiah 53, would you please? Isaiah 53. That's page 760. Isaiah 53. verse number 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. Read that next line to me, would you please? Ready? We have turned everyone to his own way. See that? Now, how do we go astray? By turning to our own way. You see? The devil does not say to you, I want you to follow my path. Why, the devil says, follow your own path. You're a free man. This is a democracy. You've got a right to do your own thing. You want to live one life, do what you want to do. Listen, that young person tonight in this room who is choosing a profession and does not know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is God's will for his life is a Satan worshiper. That's the devil's plan. The devil has no plan for you. He wants you. Because the devil knows you're more likely to satisfy your desires than his. So the devil is trying to keep you away from God's plan. And, alright, I said in the first place, Satan wanted to be the king. I said number two, he fought to be. I said number three, he was defeated and cast out of heaven. I said number four, he then wanted to hurt God. I said number five, the best way to do this is through God's children. I said number six, the devil does not have a way for you to go. Illustration I've used a half a dozen times just through the years, I guess, but it's so perfect. A man came to me in this auditorium, and he said to me, and I'm not giving it exactly as it was. I hadn't planned to give it, so I didn't look it up. But this is about what he said, and I may make a few little mistakes in it, but the general gist is this. He said, Brother Hiles, I have four children. I'm proud of them. He said, all of my children have turned out good. He said, I have a boy who's a coach in a Christian high school. My boy has always liked athletics. He's always liked sports, and because of that, he chose to be a Christian coach. He said, I have a girl that's a church organist, church pianist. Said she's always liked music, so she chose to go to college and study music, and now she's an organist in a church. I got one boy, said, he's always liked to fiddle with mechanics and cars and so forth. So he chose to go to a school taught mechanics, and he is a mechanic, but he sings in the choir. He's a soul winner. He's a good guy, you know, and so forth. Then I forget what the other one was, but he said, does about the same thing. And he said, I'm proud of my children. They all turned out well. Now, what he didn't realize is they all turned out for the devil. Because the key words were these. He chose to be a coach. She chose to be a church organist, church pianist. He chose to be a mechanic. Now, when you choose, okay, so it says out here in Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep are going astray. We turned everyone to his own way. The devil's way is not always nightclubbing and drinking and carousing and red light district. The devil's way is any other way except God's way, and your way is the devil's way, because the devil don't care about what you do as long as you don't do what God wants you to do. Number 8, and I've already said this, his best shot is to get you to go your own way. And read these again. Satan wanted to be king. He fought to be. He was defeated and cast out of heaven. He then wanted to hurt God. The best way to do this is through God's children. And he does not have a way for you to go. He does, so he wants you to go any way but God's way. And in his best shot is to get you to go your own way. The point under this part of the outline. So in every area, listen carefully, so in every area of the Christian life, he makes a counterfeit that you can choose without having to yield to God's plan. Every area. The devil. Now, the devil's counterfeits are not bad. The devil is not concerned about you ending up in a nightclub. Where you end up, he could care less, as long as you don't end up doing what God wants you to do. And I want to say this. You're not a success in life unless you find what God wants you to do and where he wants you to do it and do both. I don't care what kind of popularity, what kind of money, what kind of achievement. I don't care. And God doesn't either. The devil makes you decide what you want to do. And it may be good. It may be perfectly good. All right? Now then, I want to give you a few of these, and this is old hat to you. I'm pivoting now a little bit. This is old hat to you. The devil doesn't want, for example, there is a certain baptism that God wants us to have, a baptism by immersion after salvation. So the devil gives a counterfeit baptism. Oh, it looks mighty sweet. Grandpa's there, and grandma's there, and the godfather's there, and the godmother's there, and little Johnny's going to get baptized. Or it's time for confirmation time. Take some catechisms and learn a little bit about the church, about the doctrines, and have a confirmation time. That looks mighty good. And that's church, and it sounds good because church is a good word, but it's of the devil. It's the devil's counterfeit. See, Satan, he does not come with a wicked alternative. He comes with a close alternative that looks like the real thing. For example, take the matter of the Lord's Supper. God has given the Lord's Supper to the church, and I say local church, only kind there is, but God's given the Lord's Supper to the local churches, and He's given those to the churches for a memorial supper where we can occasionally get together, take a piece of unleavened bread, drink a little bit of unfermented juice, and remember that Jesus died for us, and remember His broken body and His shed blood. Now the devil comes and makes a counterfeit that. It's called the sacrament. And the devil makes a counterfeit. You take the matter of spirit fullness. It's so simple in the Bible that God wants us to be filled with the Spirit. Why? It says, ye shall be witnesses unto me after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You see, God has given us a power whereby we can be soul winners. And that power is called the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So what's happened? The devil's got a counterfeit. This charismatic hodgepodge, they call it a second blessing, or whatever you want to call it, where you jabber in some tongues and get happy and hold your hands up and float away and run out on the cloud. Nobody gets saved. Nobody cares. That's the devil's counterfeit. Charismatic spirit, baptism of the Spirit is a counterfeit for the genuine thing. God's not interested in you going to church and floating around up in the air with a fuse. God's concerned about people getting out of hell. That's what God's concerned about. So, Satan comes with his counterfeit. That isn't all. God gave a wonderful thing to the church in Jerusalem. A wonderful thing. Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, and there were people there from every nation under heaven. And a lot of these people could not understand the language in which Peter was preaching. And so Peter was preaching, and all, at least some of the nations under heaven, from where these folks originated. And they couldn't understand Peter. And so God miraculously gave these people, either He gave people the ability to speak in languages they did not know, in order that they may preach the gospel to these people that could not understand Peter, or He gave the people the ability, the people of the nations, the ability to hear the gospel in their own language when Peter was preaching it in his language. But whatever it is, it is God making it possible for more people to hear the gospel and be saved. That's the purpose of all of it. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, said the Apostle Paul. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, said the Savior Himself. And the purpose of this matter of tongues is to get people saved. Now don't you be hoodwinked by some people that make you think they've got something you don't have. They don't. They don't. They absolutely don't. Anybody can start jabbering. And I'm simply saying, you say, well, how do you know? Because the Bible says so. Now, Satan brought a counterfeit in the charismatic jabber. And I say jabber. Now then, there's the Bible. So, Satan has brought false Bibles. Oh, and they look so good. The New King James. Oh, that sounds good. I believe the King James myself. Don't you stick with the New King James. Don't you do it. I was asked by the company that printed that Bible to be on the overview committee for the printing of that Bible, and I refused. I don't need the New King James. I've got the old King James. Oh, but the New Scofield. The word Scofield is a mighty good thing. New Scofield. But you'd think in the New Scofield all they'd change would be the notes, but that's not all they changed. They changed the text. The devil has a lot of Bibles. But the one that I want to call attention tonight, the Word of God, is when somebody says, hold it, I have a word of knowledge. Shut up, you don't either. I have a book of knowledge. You say, no, you don't have a word of knowledge. No, you don't. No, you don't. Oh, what's up with these people? Fella, they give the word knowledge, he puts the hand on their head, and they fall out. If they fall out before they talk, it'd be a lot better. But I'm simply saying it's all counterfeit. Well, how do you know what's counterfeit and what's not? One of the best ways to know is that according to the book, and another way to know is it wrapped around getting sinners out of hell and getting them saved? All right? So, the devil has, in effort to hurt God, he's attacked God's children, and the way he's attacked them is to get them to go their own way, and then he gives counterfeits so they can go their own way. Now, follow me carefully. It's against human nature to want to accept another way other than ours. Human nature wants to decide. For example, I hear folks say, don't forget now, next Sunday, go to the church of your choice. Sorry about that. That's what the devil wants you to do, is go to the church of your choice. That's what he's interested in. All right? So, there is a counterfeit baptism. There is a counterfeit Lord's Supper. A counterfeit spirit fullness. Counterfeit tongues. Counterfeit Bible. Counterfeit love. That's lust. But also, really this. There's also a counterfeit church, or counterfeits for the church. Now, follow me carefully. In order to be Satan's counterfeit, number one, it must be something close to the real thing. Number two, it must be something we can choose. That's what the devil wants us to do. Something we can choose. Number three, it must not in itself be bad. Now, I'm going to shock you tonight. I've been shocking you a lot lately on Wednesday nights. I'm going to shock you tonight. Now, hear me carefully. The devil knows that you're not going to leave First Baptist Church in Hammond and go to a Buddhist church. He knows that. So the devil's going to get as near as he can to a church so he can get you to go your own way and keep you out of the New Testament church. All right? Open your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Verse number 9. Page 1332. I want to read verse 9 with me out loud, please. Revelation 2:9. Ready? I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they're Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. I want you to notice that little word, synagogue of Satan. And by the way, that word is not capitalized. It's a small. So it's not talking about a particular synagogue, of the synagogue of Satan. Now look at chapter 3 and verse 9. Chapter 3 and verse 9. I'll read that. But I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. That's enough. Synagogue of Satan. Look at me carefully. I want to teach you something. The word synagogue means, now hear me carefully, it's a little fine line. The word synagogue means assembly. That's what it means, an assembly of people, or an assembly of anything. The word church means a called out assembly. I taught on that the other night. So if God's people belong to an institution that's not out of the world, it's not a church. You may call yourself a church, but only to be a church, you've got to be a called out assembly. Now, the word ecclesia means that. An assembly, called out, is what it means. A called out assembly. But the word synagogue simply means an assembly. So a group of people who are religious, who assemble and are not called out of the world and don't come out of the world, are a synagogue. Now, we're not talking about Jewish religion now. We're talking about the Greek words. This word synagogue is a Greek word. It's like the word baptism. It's baptizo. It's a Greek word. The like angel is a Greek word, angelos. And the word synagogue is a Greek word. And the word simply means to assemble. Now, so there are two types of things that call themselves churches. An assembly and a called out assembly. A church, or an assembly of people, calls itself a church that lives like the world, smokes like the world, drinks like the world, dances like the world, not a New Testament church.
It's a synagogue, you, or synagogue, rather than an ecclesia, or called out assembly. No group of people have a right to call themselves a church. Old Cross Street, All Saints Church, not church at all. Not All Saints either. I mean, it's not church at all. Why? It's not a called out assembly. Now, on the other hand, it is a synagogue. I don't mean a Jewish synagogue in the sense of religion. I mean, it is an assembly. They assemble. You look over there, they assemble. Not many, but they assemble over there. But over here, we got a bunch of born-again, blood-bought, sin-washed, regenerated people that have come out of the world and don't look like the world. You watch them come out down there and see how they look. You watch them come out from here and see how they look. There's a difference. What's the difference? We are an ecclesia. They are a synagogue. You're a synagogue. We are a called out assembly, and they are an assembly. All right? Now, what it means is this. A religious assembly, hear me now, a religious assembly then, other than the church. So, the synagogue of Satan is a religious assembly other than the church. Now, the devil is not trying, he's not proud of his worshipers that are killing little babies on altars. He's not proud of them. The devil is trying, look, he has one institution besides the home on earth, and that is the local New Testament church. Now, he doesn't care where you go to get your food as long as you don't go to a church. All right? Now, please follow me carefully, but listen, and don't just come in and out every once in a while, or you won't get it. Follow me carefully now. These institutions are sometimes good institutions. But they're not a local New Testament church. So the devil may get you in something that does some good to get you out of the local church. So I'm not saying that all these institutions do are of the devil. I'm saying that the devil chooses these institutions to get you away from his institution. Let me give you a few of them. I'll just jump right into it and see where the chips fall. Number one, non-church organizations. I'm talking about non-church organizations that substitute for the church. Now, let's say I'm talking about like Youth for Christ. I mention Youth for Christ quite often. There was a day when it was a pretty decent outfit. Even as a religious organization, it's gone now. I'm talking about the Awana groups. There was a day when Awana, though it was not church-oriented, started by church, there was a day, it was pretty good, but now they're using other Bibles besides the King James Bible. I'm talking about child evangelism. I'm talking about the Jewish evangelism. Anything, no matter how good it is, that you substitute for the local body, the New Testament church, the devil made you do it. And though it is not all bad, it is a gathering, an assembly, but not a called-out assembly, and the devil wants you to get in one of those. Why? The devil doesn't want churches. Look, the devil knows that if he can get you to spend your, instead of going to church to put your time in child evangelism, he knows when those kids get older, they won't have anything. He knows if he can get you to spend your life in Youth for Christ, when those teenagers get grown, they won't have anything. The devil knows that you put your kids in nursery at First Baptist Church of Hammond, and there's something for him until he dies. He'll go right from the nursery to the beginners, the primaries, the junior high, the high school, to our, in our school. At the age of four, he'll go to K-4, kindergarten four, and kindergarten five, and through grade school, and through junior high school, and through high school, and through college. You can start to age four in our grade school, First Baptist Church grade school, and come out with your master's degree, and never get outside our own institutions. Now, the devil knows that. So the devil, he doesn't want you. He don't want you to hear me preach three times a week. He doesn't want you to hear what I'm saying tonight. He wants to get you, and what is it? He knows he's not going to get you to go join the Masonic Lodge. Though the Masonic Lodge is nothing more than the world's attempt to have what a church has. He's not going to try to get you to go join the Knights of Pythias. They still in existence? I pronounced that right? Somebody laughed. He's not going to get you to join the Ku Klux Klan. He wants you to join something that looks like a New Testament church, but is not a New Testament church, to get you out of the institution that Jesus started. He didn't say, on this rock I'll build my youth for Christ. He said, on this rock I'll build my church. Now, I don't care who you are, how famous you are, how important you are, how mature you are, you're supposed to be active in a local New Testament church. And you cannot be the Christian that you could be if you're not. Now let's just go a little farther. What else does the devil divert? How else does the devil get us diverted from a New Testament church? Cottage Bible studies. Wouldn't give you a dime for all of them. Wealthy people especially are prone to this because, you know, a hellfire and damnation preacher. He's cute for the poor white trash. That's you. But, of course, we meet on Silk Stocking Avenue for our Bible study. Athletes are good for that. They love that. Chapel on Sunday morning, where a preacher who ought to be in church comes to give a 15-minute devotional to the football players to salve their consciences, you see. Now, I'm not saying there's no good done. I'm not saying nobody ever gets saved there. I am saying whatever you do there, you can do 10,000 times better in a New Testament church. The devil is trying. Look, the devil knows that the organization in Hammond that gives him the biggest black eye is on the corner of Sibley and Oakley Street. He knows that. So he wants to get you to go to some other organization. And if he can get you to go to something good instead of best, and for example, I said a while ago, these Bible study meetings that folks go, where do you go to church? Well, we go to a Thursday night Bible study. You don't go to church. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a Bible study in your home. If you're faithful to your church, and if your church supports and sponsors what you're doing. I was in New York City Monday and Tuesday. Perfect example. Pastor of the church where I was, he told me, he said, people come to New York City and conduct big campaigns. Sometimes a youth campaign on Times Square. And folks will walk down those aisles and get saved, and there's nothing wrong. I'm glad about that. But the tragedy is, he said, you don't ever hear from those folks anymore. Brother, when you get somebody saved, anywhere you are, you can say, how about going to church with me Sunday morning? A place of growth. Jesus started the New Testament church. Okay, we're not down to the worst part yet. What else does the devil use? Radio preachers and TV preachers. I've said this before. The best thing that ever happened to America is if every nationwide TV preacher would go off the air. And every nationwide radio preacher would go off the air, and all the offerings sent to them were used to start local churches all across this nation. Do more for this country than anything I think of. You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed if you knew how many preachers are struggling, having a hard time making ends meet, can't pay their bills, have to have a secular job to get going across this country, and members of their churches are sending big money to these nationwide preachers, and all most of these Christian radio stations is one after the other. So I said, Brother House, would you like to be on nationwide radio? Not at all. Why be the 21st fellow a day on the same station? And yet, these poor pastors who are being bypassed for these glamour boys, they are struggling to make ends meet. Bless God, why don't you put the money where in an institution that Jesus started? I've heard the term the electronic church. No such thing. No such thing. Okay. You ready? Schools. May as well say it. It's been hidden long enough, ought to be said. I'm not opposed to these schools. But a student that goes to a college, and the college has Sunday morning service, and makes the student go there, instead of going to a local New Testament church, is pleasing the booger man. Now, you know it's the truth. Face it. Quit dodging, quit hiding, quit getting upset. You know it's the truth. That's not a church. Now, I'm not opposed to colleges having services. We have five a week at Howells Anderson College. But call them chapel, don't call them church. And don't have them during church to compete with the church. It's a disgrace when a student can go to a college for 4 years and never darken the door of a church those 4 years. Without getting into demerits. Without getting shipped. I'm saying the devil is... And by the way, a lot of good goes on there. The devil knows, okay, suppose you went to a college and the college had a rock music festival on Sunday morning. You'd say, my daughter won't go there. The devil doesn't care. The devil's trying to keep you out of the church. Now, where you go to get out of the church doesn't bother him. He wants you to go your own way. I know I was preaching at a certain college at their Bible conference. They have a Sunday morning service. Every Sunday morning, preacher has to wear a robe. I was preaching there over 30 years ago, their Bible conference. They had me on the schedule to close out on Sunday morning. And they said, you know you'll have to wear a robe. I said, no, I won't. No. They said, you'll wear a robe if you preach Sunday morning here. I said, then I won't preach Sunday morning here. I won't wear a robe if you fire me. You said, I'll fire you. We'll fire you next Sunday morning. If you don't wear a robe, fire away. I was looking for a church when I found this one. Now, look, let's face it. That's not church. If a college has a church, there's no such thing as a college church. There's a church college. But no such thing as a college church. When a college runs the church, it's not a church. Jesus is head of the church, not the college. I'm getting pretty old in my old age, aren't I? I'm getting pretty right, too. I'm simply saying that what I started way back yonder. The devil tried to take over. He didn't. He got him in a bad humor. He said, I'll get God. I'll get him. How would you get him? I'll get him through his children. Well, what's your plan? I'll have a plan. I'll tell each of his children to do their own plan. And then I'll make a bunch of counterfeits that look exactly, almost exactly like the real thing. And I'll get them off in the counterfeit. And one thing I'll just, listen, since the church, according to our Bible study last week, is the New Testament family. No, I better make that plain. It is the big New Testament family. The local unit is still key. But since that's what the devil's trying to get you to do is run off from home. All right? Lastly, non-church churches. Non-church churches. Turn to Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. This is a little bit of review, but it fits tonight. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Make it verse 4. The church at Ephesus, page 1332. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. What were the first works given the New Testament church? Soul winning. All right. Do the first works, or else, you're not soul winning, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Look at the last verse of chapter 1, the last two lines. The seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. What does that mean? That means any church, if a religious meeting is not a soul winning group, it's a synagogue. just an assembly. If it's a biblical New Testament church and is soul-winning church, it's an ecclesia, a called-out assembly. It's a church then, New Testament church. Any church, what is the devil's church? Any church you choose? You have no choice to choose where you go to church. No right. You have no right. Well, I think I'll decide to go. You have no right. He's supposed to lead you to the church. We don't want you joining First Baptist Church just to get new members. We want you joining the First Baptist Church if the Holy Spirit leads you here. Well, I like their choir. Awesome. Show me that in the Bible. I like their youth program. Show me that in the Bible. Oh man, that's such a good social program. Show me that in the Bible. I got 16 points here. Wait till I get to point 16. Fundamentalism has left the great doctrine of the church. Remember that group number 1, 2, and 3 I talked about the other night? We have let the non-denominational people pretty well infiltrate. We go to their schools, we get their literature, and they've indoctrinated us to believe that the church is not a real important institution. Years ago, in Marshall, Texas, as you know, I pastored a little church out in the country outside Marshall. And I was still a student in the college when they called me there, by the way. I never told you that. I was pastoring in that church out there about 10 miles from the college where I was attending. Well, it was the policy at the college when school opened every year for all the local pastors to come and sit on the platform at the college, and each pastor got a few minutes to tell about his church. Boy, they were worried about me. I was the local pastor, and I was sort of a renegade anyway. I didn't believe in groups coming in with long hair and singing cigarette whiskey and wild, wild women in their songs, and I didn't believe an English professor ought to teach that nudity was okay, and I had a few problems that I had in school, and the president was scared to death, but it was policy. Every local pastor was supposed to come and take a few minutes and talk about his church and invite the students. Well, it was the first chapel of the year. Here we are lined up there. They saved me to last because they wanted the whole time to run out. So, Pastor First Baptist Church Marshall got up and he said, "Young people," he said, "we're having a hayride tonight." I'm not sure which church had what, but all the things I'm telling you, one church had it. And a hayride. A Saturday night. We want you to come to our hayride. We're going to have hot dogs and barbecue and baked beans next Sunday I didn't go to church. I went to this other church. But he said, "We want you to come." Pastor of Central Baptist Church, Dr. Hastings, got up and he said, "Well, we want you to come." He said, "We're having a big party at the church Friday night." He said, "We are going to have everything imaginable. We're going to have movies and we're going to have a banquet and we want you to come." Next pastor, he had some kind of a shindig. And next pastor had some kind. I was number 10. Dr. Bruce said, he's president of college, he swallowed and said, "Now, Brother Hyde, from Grange Hall Baptist Church." I stood up. Everybody was silent. Faculty trembling. Dr. Bruce about to have a stroke. And I said these words. I'm quoting. I won't miss one word in the quote, or more than one word in the quote. I said to you new students, I'd like to welcome you to our East Texas Baptist College, to our area. I said, "Grange Hall Baptist Church will not be having a hayride Saturday night. We'll serve no hot dogs. We'll serve no hamburgers." I used to be a real rascal. And I said, "We'll have no hamburgers." I said, "We'll have no barbecue." I said, "We're not going to have a party. Not going to have a banquet. We'll have no ice cream supper." I said, "We're not going to try to get you that way. But I said, I won't tell you right now. As far as I'm concerned, there is only one church in this area that you ought to go to. It was like E.F. Hutton had spoken. And I said, that's the one the Holy Spirit leads you to. Next Sunday morning, we sent a bus. I said, there'll be a bus here next Sunday morning. Anybody wants to come to our church? We sent a bus. Got a phone call from the bus driver. Said, preacher, what do I do? We got enough for 3 busloads here. We had more people in Sunday school than First Baptist had at their party. And I became, for 3 years and 3 months, I became the college pastor. I pastored more students at East Texas Baptist College than First Baptist Church, right smack dab downtown with 3,000 members, and Central Baptist Church with 1,500 members. Any of them. That's one reason why I know college students so well, because when I was 22 and 23 and 24 years old, I was pastoring a slug of them. I say it again. The devil just wants you to do anything other than what God wants you to do. Now, you will never place enough emphasis on the church. You never will. Never will. I love Howells Anderson College. I wouldn't trade First Baptist Church Hammond for 10 Howells Anderson Colleges. There wouldn't be any Howells Anderson College if there were no First Baptist Church. Every person here who is employed by any of our institutions, it's his institutions, ought to be ashamed if you're only a spectator when you come to church. If you think you're serving God just because you're teaching in a Christian school, you're not. The devil's got you. You've gone your own way. You have bypassed the institution for which Christ died, and the institution that he established. Again, I say in closing, he will not direct you totally 180 degrees away. He'll direct you a little bit away, just a little bit. Now, some of you don't like some things I've said tonight. Disprove them. Disprove them. I don't think you ought to criticize. Just prove it. Disprove me. Disprove me. You decide, and the wisest thing you ever decided outside receiving Christ as Savior, the wisest thing you ever decided is to build your life and the life of your family and the lives of your children around the only institution outside the place you live that Jesus never started. If America... Look at me for a minute. No talking now. Look at me for a minute. I just thought of something. Something I want to say. Where's the Bible Belt? Where's the Bible Belt been in America for years? Or say it out loud. That's interesting. Did you know in the North there had been just as much religion as in the South? What's the difference? The North, the influence of Christianity. Hear me carefully now. The influence of Christianity in the North in the last 100 years has been in non-denominationalism, not emphasizing the church. The emphasis in the South has been a bunch of Baptists down there starting churches. The difference. And every one of these institutions that like to substitute for the church are parasites off the church and sponge off the church. And they couldn't operate if there were no churches. Shall we stand, please?